Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you. Whoa.
See, when you get as old as I, you got to have notes that are real big and colorful to read. All right, stay. There we go. Well, it's a privilege to get to speak to you guys. Man, nice full house, overflow. Love it. Love it, love it. You almost like this place, huh? I mean, nobody made you come, right? I hope. Maybe your kids. Or maybe your spouse. I see that nudging on the front row. Well, I'm going to talk about a very important subject. I'm going to talk about the most important job in your life, which is raising kids, if you have kids. It's more important than being a pastor. It's more important than being a successful businessman, teacher, nurse, doctorate, you name it. It's the most important thing, other than your relationship with God, is raising children. When God gave you children, He gave you the ability to do it. But we have to be taught, because we didn't get it all. And I think I can give you some resources today. I like to call them tools to put in your toolbox for raising kids that maybe you didn't have before, that might help you some. I sure hope so. That's the reason that I'm here. The second thing I want to do is end by letting you know what constitutes being a successful parent. You may wonder what that would be. Most of the time, I think in these days, it's like if nobody's pregnant or didn't get anybody pregnant, there's no drugs and they're not in jail, whew, we made it, you know. That's okay, but that's a pretty low standard. I mean, we can do better, folks. We can do better than that. So I'm going to show you God's standard, and we'll do that. Okay, you ready to jump in there?
Yeah.
All right, let me legitimize myself. Not only have I walked with God for over 50 years and never taken a vacation, why would I? I've been married for 43 of those years, and we've had 3 children. I've got 6 grandchildren, and I am I live in the same area with my kids and grandkids, so that is, the best is yet to come, let me just tell you. I'm older than most of you in this room. And I promise you, I'm in my 70s now. The 60s was my best decade, and I think so far the 70s are better than the 60s. So you got a lot to look forward to. You really do. I'm serious. Okay, now, this teaching, we used to call it the journey of transition. And we started getting some very strange phone calls in recent years. And so we changed that. Didn't want to confuse anybody because, like, we can't help you with that kind of transition. You're going to have to call someone else. We're not into that. So we changed the name about a year ago to Journey of Parenting. But to this crowd, I think I can use the word transition. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, actual transition from one phase of life to another, not from one gender to another. Just get that straight. Okay. So the premise is this. Every child goes through about 4 distinct phases in their life. Okay. And what you may never have been told is that you have to change your parenting with your child as they go through. So, let's take a look at that. The 4 phases. Would you mind putting that the big screen up first? Yeah. You see that? That's the same thing I got in front of me. I'm gonna be working on this bottom part right here this morning. We call it the 4 C's. I think it makes sense that when your child's real young, you are their caretaker, right? You protect them, you provide for them, and you pray for them. That's basically your job. If you don't take care of them, they will literally die. Pretty important. As they get a little older and they become toddlers and can start doing some things, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever, they can dress themselves and feed themselves. You're not so much their caretaker. Now you have to become their cop because it's time to lay down some laws, isn't it? I mean, who wants a family with no rules? How many would like to go on the interstates around here with no rules? I wouldn't. It's bad enough with rules. And so you got to lay down the law. You got to teach them the law. You got to enforce it. And you got to have some discipline if they don't do it. So they'll learn how to do it. Okay? That's how it works. And you've all been through that probably if you've got kids. During this phase of life, it starts around 3 years old and goes up to adolescence. That is the cop phase, we call it. There, your job is to teach, train, discipline, and pray. Okay? That's the cop stage. Never apologize for being a cop because you do need to lay down those laws. It's important. And you got to learn them. Now, the problem comes, well, during that time, if you're like most folks, when your kids get to be 6, 7, 8, up to 10 or 12, that's really kind of a fun age, you know? They're fun to be with. They want to be with you, and you want to be with them, and sometimes you can't be with them as much as they want you to be. And then something happens, doesn't it? And you're going to know what it is. There's some physical things that happen, and you're going to know exactly what it is. And before you get mad at your child who's changing, remember who caused this change? God. At a certain age, these hormones get released in the girls and the boys, different ones, because God doesn't want your children to be children forever. He wants them to become adults. So your big job is to take them from being dependent on you to one day becoming dependent on God. That's your job, turning them into adults who depend on God. You know, there's really no such thing as complete independence. Y'all remember, I can't remember now the name of the singer. Anyway, he had a song called You Gotta Serve Somebody. Bob Dylan just came back to me. Anybody old enough to remember Bob Dylan? I think they still roll him out in a wheelchair. He's doing like 90 years old. I think he's still doing concerts. It's ridiculous. Not much he said is worth repeating. But this song was pretty cool. You gotta serve somebody. He's right. The only decision you have in your life, in your child's life, is are you going to serve the Lord? Are you going to live by the Bible? Or are you going to serve the world, the devil, and your flesh? Because we live in a spiritual world. We're controlled by a spiritual world that we can't see. Didn't know that, did you? You probably knew it. And you're going to be controlled by one or the other. Okay? So people think they're free. They're not free. They're being controlled and don't even know it. And so your job as a parent to make sure your child gets controlled by the Holy Spirit. And of course, that involves becoming a Christian, all the things you know. All right? That's your big job. Now, let's go back to our four C's. So as this big change in their life happens, and that wonderful child becomes sometimes a child that you wonder who they are, they're so different. I had two kids, and my daughter was perfect. My wife doesn't agree, but I claim to this day she was perfect. Daddy's girl. And I didn't need this teaching, frankly. I mean, she just came out of the womb doing great, you know. And some of you may have kids like that, and that's a bonus. You got a free pass on that kid. And I looked down on some of my friends who were sending their kids off to boarding schools, and I said, how could you do that? You know, like in ninth grade, because they couldn't handle them. And I thought I was so good, and I was getting a little proud about it. And then along came my son about 4 years later, and I called my friends and said, what is the name of that boarding school? I am interested. Because he was just the opposite. He was pushing every button, breaking every rule, testing everything. I mean, no two kids are the same, right? They're going to all be different. Now, I won't have a chance to give you the whole story, but my daughter's 41 now, my son's 37, and they're very successful, both of them, okay? Took a little few more bumps for my son to get there, but he's doing great, loves the Lord, has got a family. Oh, my daughter's amazing. Amazing. Did I tell you my daughter was amazing? Yeah, she is. How about this? She goes to India and starts a school for AIDS kids by herself. 450 kids. The schools won't take them because they have AIDS. And she said, this isn't right. So she started school. Amazing what this lady did. Turn it over to the locals. She's amazing. She's back in the United States raising her own kids now. But the school continues on. It's great. All right. So had to brag a little bit on her. And believe me, that was all God. We didn't even have this teaching then. So in the coach phase, now you have to go from being a cop to being a coach. Young people, we had a bunch of young people in last service. But I asked the young people last service, coach sound better than cop? No, yeah, they think it sounds a lot better. Cop sounds like, you know, put the cuffs on you, got that stick they carry. Ooh, that can be rough. You know, coach, though, Whatever. They got all kinds of weapons. But they need them. They need them. But a coach sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, coaches are great. Their job is to help you win the game, right? As parents, you need to become their coach to help them win in the game of life. Okay? Now, coaches cannot go on the field and play. They get penalized for that. Moms, dads, do not become helicopter parents who hover over their kids everywhere they go. I'm talking about once they become teenagers, okay? And when they're younger, they may need some of that. It's okay. It's okay. A little adversity is not the worst thing that can happen to one of your children. In fact, one of the problems we have in the United States is college kids are not resilient. They've never dealt with defeat in their life because their parents never let them. They protected them. Whoever invented participation trophies, and I hope you're not here, is of the devil. That is ridiculous, folks. There's winners and there's losers. We don't all get a trophy. I mean, come on. The YMCA is not going to like me or whoever does that. Little League or whatever. You don't learn anything. In fact, you learn more when you lose, don't you? You don't want anything. Only thing you learn about when you win is staying humble, you know. So, you're coaching them, all right? You're coaching your kids. And I thought about this. When I first heard this, boy, the light went off. And I remember telling my son about it. We'd gone to the J.H. Ranch where I now work, but I was a guest there. And I said, son, I learned something this week. I learned that you don't need me to be a cop anymore. You need me to be a coach. Yeah, Dad, you're right. I like that. That's good. You know, your child will probably say the same. And so we're going to start something new when we get home. Well, this poor mother who didn't hear the teaching thought I was out of my mind. What do you mean you're going to give him more responsibilities and treat him like an adult? He cannot walk from his room to the bathroom without leaving dirty clothes all over the place. You moms see all the ugly side more than the dads, I think, of the kids. And I said, just give me some freedom here. I want to try this. Okay, I'll let you do it. It caused some problems until she heard the teaching. Then she came along. But, so things, I started giving them some more freedoms. And everything looked pretty good. I started treating them more like an adult. Trying to be the coach. And I sat him down one evening and I said, son, what do you really want from me? This is a great question to ask your child. What do you really want from me? Guess what he said? He sounded like Martin Luther King. Freedom! I want freedom! Every kid will say that at that age, just about. And I said, okay. And he started listing the freedoms. I don't have time to go through all of them. And you know what I told him? Ooh, I was bold. My wife, knowing I'd said this, she never would have liked it. I said, you know, son, your mother and I want you to have all those freedoms. Couldn't believe it. Up to that point, every time he wanted to do something, the answer was no, 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 no. We were butting heads. It was like I had moved around the table to come on his side of the table and be his advocate and be his friend and be his coach to help him get the freedoms he wanted. Now, I wasn't going to give him all those freedoms when he was 14 years old, but I wanted him to know that at some point in the future, he was going to get them, and I was going to help him get there. When you do this, parents, it will transform your relationship with your child. Instead of you being the enemy, you now become their coach, and you're helping them get their goals. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. Okay? So, as a coach, you will teach, you will model. And model is usually underlined or in bold because that's the most important thing. You'll encourage and you'll pray. You know, teenagers need encouragement. Man, it's a tough time of life. They're half adult, half child, wanting to be an adult, but not all the way there. You know, social media and all that can be just cruel to your kids. You know, school's tough. Coaches can be tough. You know, girlfriends, boyfriends, all these issues that you face, and they come home and then you jump their case. I mean, they need to be encouraged. They really do. And so put yourself in their shoes for a little bit. Man, I'm glad I'm not a teenager. Those were tough years. You don't know what to do with yourself. My wife taught junior high school. She said seventh graders don't have a clue about anything. Eighth graders know everything. You know, it's like they're going through that change, you know, and they just... It's crazy time for them. And so, parents, We're so busy correcting and we're so busy disciplining that we don't get around to encouraging. I heard someone say, for every correction that you give your child, they should have at least 10 encouragements. I think that's probably a good proportion. That needs to be your main job, is to encourage them. And let me say something to the dads. And I haven't said this in other meetings, and I'm sorry I hadn't. Dads, it's time to step it up at this point. Moms have been the primary parent for the first 12, 13 years, and that's probably good. They're more than nurturing, and that's what they need at that age. But once they hit adolescence, dads, you got to step up. You got to start being that the main parent. And give the wives a break. Let them just enjoy the kids for a while. You be the heavy. You work with the kids because God's given you special grace to do that. I don't know why, but when a dad said something to a kid, they listen better many times than when a mom said something. Maybe because mom's with them all the time, they get tired of hearing it. Dads, you got to help out. You're not just helping your wife, which you are. Your kids need you. And be very careful how you handle that. Because what you say to them, they'll never forget. You get mad and call them a loser, they'll remember that the rest of their life. You tell them they can do something in life. You can do this. That's the encouragement they need. They need someone who supports them. And you can do that. Be that great coach that I'm talking about, dads. I really want to call you up to this. It's going to take a little bit of adjustment in the household because when power changes, it can be ugly. So you and your wife are going to need to work this out. And your wife's going to have to be convinced that you can do it. Mine, it took my wife 2 years to accept this. It was the worst 2 years of my life with her. And I'm telling you, it was tough. It was tough. But I passed the course. We stayed married and the kids did okay. That's a coach. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Let me just finish the four C's. The fourth C is consultant. When your child leaves home, even if it's to college, and even though you're still paying the bills, you are now a consultant. I don't know how many of you have had kids that went off. But when they go off to college at first, you know, you can't wait for them to come home and visit. And when they come home, you say, oh, it's going to be like it always was. No, it will not be like. They've been on their own, and they're not going to come back under the same authority they were before. You've let the genie out of the bottle. It ain't going to happen. And so you got to start getting adjusted to the new child. You start giving them advice, they're not going to listen. They're going to stiff arm you. They're going to stiff arm you. And so in this role, we say listen. In fact, in general, we need to listen more, talk less, and pray more. That's what we need to be doing. We need to support them in what they're doing. Listen, if it's important to your child, if it's legal and, okay, you know, not, you know what I'm talking about. I don't mean anything, but if it's important to them, it should be important to you. I hate ballet, but when my daughter was in ballet, man, I was on the front row cheering. I looked like a football cheer, but that's okay. My wife hated football, but she never missed a game that my son went to. You support them. Then you advise when asked. Unsolicited advice won't get you anywhere. That's when they'll give you the stiff arm. And then, of course, you pray. That's in all these phases. That's when you're a consultant, okay? Now, actually, Pastor Jason mentioned this in one of our previous sessions, but he's absolutely right. If your child's getting ready to drive off a cliff, you're not going to wait to be asked. You're going to jump in front of them and say, stop. No. I mean, this is not like you never, ever do that. I will give you some advice, though. If you see something you really want to help them with, now, disaster is one thing. You don't have to ask. But what you can do is ask your child, can I speak into this situation, or would you rather me just be quiet? No, Dad, I'd rather you just not say anything. Okay, I'll just pray. What that does, helps the child not think you're going to ambush them. Here's what happens. Most of the time, if you hadn't been taught to be a coach or a consultant, and you're still a cop, when they get with you, you're going to cop them, okay? Dads are going to preach, moms are going to nag, and the kids are going to just back off, you know? You got to change that. You got to let them know you can spend time with them and not correct them. And just enjoy being with them. This is in the consultant phase, all right? And so if you do that, you can have a relationship with them. They'll want to come to you. And they might be 25, 30 years old before they actually come to you and ask you for meaningful advice. But when they do, guess what? They will actually listen because they're initiating it. And you know what? You'll have 30, 40, 50, I don't know, 60 years possibly, if you live that long, of being a consultant. And you'll have this wonderful relationship with your child. But if you've ruined your relationship by all the time copping them, they're not going to do that. They're not going to open their lives up to you. You're not going to have the privilege of an intimate relationship with that child. And let me tell you, it's tough on parents. I mean, we watch our kids raising kids now, and it's rare that they even ask us anything about it. It's like, wait a minute, we raise kids, why don't you ask us? They're going to the internet, they're going to their friends, everyone else. And you know, you have to really humble yourself. And my wife and I are constantly, should we say something? Should we say something? No, no, no. Just wait, just wait. And you know what? Recently, my daughter, Miss Perfect, she was having some issues. She actually came to us and asked us about some pretty serious issues with her children. And my wife was able to talk to her like she'd been wanting to talk to her for years. But she had to wait till the time was right. And you know what? It just put them tight together. Okay? You wouldn't sit down with a friend and just start giving them all a bunch of advice, would you? Treat your child more like you would a friend. They're adults. They're human beings. They're not necessarily adults yet, but they're human beings created in the image of God, and we need to treat them that way. Sometimes we talk to our kids like we talk to a dog. I mean, I'm frankly embarrassed the way I should talk to my son. That doesn't get anywhere. Okay, so those are the four phases: caretaker, cop, coach, and then finally consultant. If you can get this right during those teenage years, if you can really become a coach with them, you're going to be a consultant for a long time. You're going to really enjoy that. Like I just said, no, I'm repeating myself, but it's just very important. The enemy wants to attack us during those teenage years and really come between our relationship with our children to where, yeah, we get along and you're living under the same roof. They'll come back and visit, but they really won't open up to you. That's what the devil does. And it's all about relationships and communication. You got to keep the lines of communication open always. Okay? We're so quick to want to tell them what to do. We'd be better off spending time communicating, letting them communicate with us. Okay? Now, a whole lot more we can say about that. But I do want to, the last part of this time, I want to talk about what constitutes success as a parent. Okay? In the Hebrew culture, which is the time that Jesus lived in, he was Hebrew himself, the word parent, the root word for parent, was teacher. Now, if you ask most people today, give me a one-word description of parenting, most fathers and mothers too would say provider. Yes, you're a provider. But if the only thing you are is a provider, what does that make your child? Providers, consumers or receivers. We're raising a generation of consumers. Do you know on Madison Avenue, where billions of dollars in advertising revenue is decided upon, their target audience is 8 to 12-year-olds. If they can get the 8 to 12-year-olds, they got the family. Isn't that crazy? That's where we are. And so, lose my train of thought here. On that, so we got to be more than a provider. Yes, we provide dads, but do they really need that much? I mean, our kids are pretty well off. They're doing okay. You know, we had it pretty good. Some of us maybe not as good as they do. Most of our kids are much better off than we were. We get so hung up because we're escaping the family. We want to make more and more money to make it better and better for the kids. Is that really what they need? No, they don't need your money. They need you. They need you there. Working with them. That's what they need. Okay? So, and that's the way in the Hebrew culture that Jesus came into, that's why they did it. Here were the three things that a good Jewish parent had to do to be considered a good parent. Number one was to teach and model what it means to worship God in the home. I emphasize in the home. Taking your child to church is not enough. Okay? If the only time they experience worship of God and praying to God and talking about God is at church, more than likely, they're not going to get it. Because church is an institution. It is a religion. And it's basically perceived. It's not real in the fact it's not like a relationship. It's something you do. You come here on Sunday mornings, okay? But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, I mean a vibrant, everyday relationship with Him, and your kids see it, they're going to see. That's the reality that they're looking for. And then guess what? They're going to want to go to church. It's going to be great because the church will support everything you're doing. So, how do we do this? Now, I wouldn't suggest doing a worship service in your home. I mean, maybe some of you could do it. Pastor Jason might could, or your worship leader. I tried it. Didn't work. Here's what I used to do before I got this teaching. I'd sit them down on Sunday afternoon, and I would tell them how that sermon was meant for them. Did you hear him say that? You know? Man, the eyes would start rolling. My wife would be going like this, you know. And I just gave up. I just finally just gave up. This is not working. Because I was a little too religious myself. And I didn't realize, really, how much I was already saying to them just through my life. Because I made a lot of mistakes with my kids, but one of the good things I did was, early on in my life, when I first became a Christian, I've always had a daily time with God, called a solo time, personal, whatever, quiet time. And my kids growing up always knew when they got up where Dad would be. They knew the chair I was going to be in. They knew I'd have my Bible open. They knew I'd be praying. And guess what? They're doing it now, finally, after all these years. That's the reality your children are looking for. And let me tell you, teenagers can spot a hypocrite a mile away. Don't you tell them to do something that you're not doing. That doesn't work. And it's got to be the real thing. So parents, this is where it gets a little uncomfortable. You can't give your child something that you don't have. We've got to make our relationship with Christ real. We've got to be growing in it. We need to be models to our kids. Models of teachability, models of vulnerability. If we want our kids to open up to us, we got to open up to them. If we want them to be learners, we should be learners. It's like I told my son, here's what I learned. I didn't say, what did you learn at the camp? I said, here's what I learned. And I was an example to him of being a learner. That's what you're called to do, to be a model. And it really works, okay? And especially on bringing God into your home. When good things happen, who gets the praise? Hopefully God. Bad things happen, what do? You run the doctor first, you run to psychiatrist or something else. Those are all great places. Sometimes we need those people. But why don't we pray? Kids, we're having problems. Let's pray. Susie's having trouble in school. Let's pray for her. Dad's having trouble at work. Let's pray for him. He might lose his job. Let's pray that doesn't happen. See what I'm saying? Bringing God into every circumstance of your life. Then it becomes real to your kids. They grow up knowing there's a real God. Amen. Yeah, they do. So, I'm not at all saying don't go to church. I'm saying get it in your home first. And just think, Pastor, if all these people, if all this was happening, when you came together on Sunday, it would be like an explosion. You know, it really would. We put way too much on the pastor, not just Jason, but all pastors, and the church to do that work. That is our job, to raise our kids, not the church's job. The church is there to help and support, but you've got to do it. And it'll work. It will work every time. It'll make his job really, he didn't tell me to say this either, but it'll make his job a whole lot easier. That's for sure. The youth pastor and everybody else, okay? So, that's what I'm talking about, making it real at home. That's the number one thing. Number two, raise up a child. Proverbs 22:6 says, raise up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart. That phrase, in the way he should go, in the original language, says this, raise up a child according to their bent. What does that mean? Bent is the way God made you uniquely. He gave every human being at least one gift. Some he gave multiple gifts to. As parents, you should know what those gifts are in your children. You know them better than anybody. So as they're coming along, encouraging in those areas, okay, If your child's not good in science and math, don't try to make him into an engineer or a doctor, okay? Just don't do that. That won't work, right? That's your job as a parent. How many people, and I don't ask for raising hands or anything, how many of you are working a job you don't like, doing something that you don't like, but you got to do it to keep food on the table? God wants your children and you to be doing something that he created you to do, using your gifts, whatever that might be. And your parents, most parents don't help their kids with that. That's the reason I had 4 different majors in college. I kept changing, changing, changing. It was trial and error for me. And I still didn't end up with the right one, you know. And I so wish my parents had helped guide me in a certain way. My dad wanted me to be an engineer because he was an engineer. I hated engineering. Don't live out your life through your child. They're uniquely made. Find out what they're good at and support that and lead them in that, okay? And guess what? They'll always have a way to make money. Isn't that good? For the girls and the guys both. They'll be doing something because of their gift and they'll be able to make a living. God's very practical. That's the second thing. The third thing is help them find a godly mate. The most important decision in their life is who they're going to marry outside of Christ. They marry the right guy or girl, it is heaven on earth. They marry the wrong, it is literally hell on earth. Divorce rates around 50% now. And these young people need some help. They're marrying the wrong folks. They're not getting advice from anybody. Their relationship's not there with their parents to go home and say, what do you think about this guy? Or what do you think about this girl, dad, mom? Tell me what you think. We could save them so much trouble. I mean, we really could. Tonight, I'm going to tell the story about my daughter who almost married the wrong guy. And fortunately, I had the relationship with her. And I didn't tell her she couldn't because she was an adult. She could do anything she wanted. I told her I'd support her. But if she wanted my opinion, I'd tell her I didn't think he's the right guy for you. But if you marry, I'll support you. Left her in a quandary. And right before they got engaged, she found out he was not the right guy. And she thanks me to this day that I didn't support something, you know, she said, Dad, you never change. That's what I like. You were consistent. That's what you can be for your kids, okay? Those three things. Worship, model, teach and model how to worship God in the home, what that means. Raise them according to their bent. Help them find a godly mate. You've done your job. Now, it doesn't mean all success. Your kid may go off and mess up. That's on them. All you can do is do your part. They're adults. They got to stand up for their own thing. Do not take the blame for your children's mistakes when they get older. You can't get anywhere with that. No, you weren't perfect, but they're not perfect either. They've got to be responsible for their own lives, right? Okay. Well, if you can get back tonight or watch the live cast or whatever, we're going to talk about that very thing, dating. How to choose a mate. And we're going to also talk a little bit about technology. So that's a big subject. Most people are pretty important to. So we'll cover those two things. Anything else you want to talk about tonight? It'll be kind of open Q&A. Okay? All right. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to pray for you before I turn it back over. Father, I thank you for all the parents in this room and all those who want to be parents. They obviously love you. They wouldn't be here. They obviously love their children. They wouldn't have come to this particular meeting. I pray that you'd give them the grace and the mercy to be the kind of parent you want them to be. We can't do it on our own, God. We mess up every single time. And when we do, Lord, just help us to ask for forgiveness. Get back on our feet and keep going because we will make mistakes. But with your grace and your guidance, we'll be able to do what you call us to do. Thank you for this high calling of being a parent. In Jesus' name, amen.